If you turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59, we're going to read verse 1 through 5. Isaiah 59, 1 through 5. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, in other words, sin, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of the eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. And God, I ask you right now, Lord, to anoint your servant to speak your word. And God, I pray that each ear here will hear today, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you'll touch and bless and move in every life. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you. What do you think sin is? What do you think sin is? Now, let me preface that with saying this, okay? You may have your idea of what sin is. But let me tell you this, it does not matter what you think sin is. It matters what God thinks sin is. Okay? I'll just say that right now. It doesn't matter what we think, folks. Because we can stand there and give God every excuse in the book, and it doesn't matter. We need to understand. So what is sin? What do you think sin is? Webster says it this way, an offensive against religious or moral law, a transgression of the law of God. And that's basically what it is, a transgression of the law of God. If you disobey what God asks of us, of his creation, he has every right to give us the Ten Commandments, right? He created us. If you go and build a machine, you're going to, you know, this is how, if you're showing somebody else, this is how it works, right? And so if they run it differently, you know, that's why General Motors and Chrysler and all those places, they give you things to go by. You're supposed to change oil every so often, and you're supposed to change the transmission stuff and all that kind of stuff. And if you don't, your warranty's in the nil. Anybody ever mess up a warranty? Huh? Well, I did one time. I bought a car and bought an extended warranty. You know, I used to work in a dealership, so I knew when they did a lot of things. So my transmission started giving me problems, and I called them up. Hey, well, you didn't change the do a flush at a certain. I said, you're supposed to do it at 75,000, and it had 90,000 when I bought it. So what? It should have been done. No, not these cars. They're just 100,000. So my warranty wasn't going to work. I had to give them some logic, and they finally took care of it because it was an electronic part. So whatever would have done with a transmission flush wouldn't have affected anyway. So they did help me. But the thing is, folks, you've got to understand, your warranties and all that kind of stuff work if you follow the rules. And if you want the blessings of God in your life and you want the chance of living throughout eternity with Jesus Christ, you better follow the rules. Because if you don't, then it's sin. So I ask you today, did you create yourself? No, you didn't. Could you do anything without God? I know you can't. See, Jeremiah 32:17 says, ah, the Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by the great power and stretcheth out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. You see, some people may think sin is an accident. Yeah, right. God calls it an abomination. Do you think, folks, shacking up is an accident? Can't you just hear it now? I'm sorry, God, I accidentally shacked up with my girlfriend. Oops, I just stopped at the bar, God, and I took 10 shots of whiskey. I'm sorry, it was an accident, God. Or oops, I just smoked this and that and everything else. That's an accident. Or I'm sorry, God, I just lusted after a woman that walked by. Sorry, accident. Lusting after the flesh is sin. Sorry, God, I just accidentally gossiped. Sorry, God, I've just been cussing, swearing. See, some people don't think swearing is wrong, but, you know, Peter did it in the Bible so that they would understand that he is not one of the disciples. They kept saying, you're one of his. No, I'm not. You're one of his. No. Then he swore. Colossians 3:8, but now ye also put off all these. Here the Bible's telling us put off some things. What is it? Anger? Anger, sin? Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. We may call sin a blunder or maybe even a defect. But listen, folks, God calls it sin. Sin. Now, the world today, they're trying to make everything out of sickness. You know, alcoholism, that's a sickness. No, it was a choice. Come on. You ever see a baby born with alcoholism? It's usually when they get older where they can start making choices to do it or sneak around and do it. And then they get addicted to it. And you want to call it a sin or call it a disease? No, it's a choice. It's a decision you made. We call sin blunders, defects. You can kind of sugarcoat anything you want, but when you stand before God, you're going to answer for what you did, for what choices you made. Amen? Folks, God is not happy with us when we sin. In Isaiah 1:15, and when ye spread forth your hand, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear, for your hands are full of blood. God is trying his best to call us to repentance. But is there any of us that have enough sense to listen to God? I pray that we do. See, we need to start listening to God. And folks, you see how bad things are in the world today. And it's one of the problems is because people do not want to listen to anybody. They get a boss, and the boss says, you need to do this, this, and this. They don't want to do it. You know, a landlord, hey, I want the house. Here's your list of rules. And they always try to sneak around and do what they want to do. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Everybody wants to do their own thing. And we need to understand that we all are accountable to somebody. Okay, and if it's not your house and you're renting, you should obey the laws of the landlord. If it's your house, then do what you want. I don't ever want to be a landlord again. You see, folks, people don't want to do it. They just want to do their own thing. And that's why, well, we need to understand, you see, there's a God in heaven. And people think, well, he's real nice and he's great. And when bad things come, then I'll call God and he'll help me because he's such a nice God. And I could live like the devil, and if I die, I'll just go to heaven. And that's the mindset that people want because they just, you know, in their own mind, they're going to set how things should be. We have to understand we need to obey the things of the Creator. Amen? We need to start listening to God. We need to build that fire underneath ourselves, folks, and say, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to be accountable for my choices. Nobody wants to be accountable for their choices. I'll just try this and see how long I can get away with it. And then when it comes, well, I'm so sorry. I didn't really mean to. You know, most people, when they go to get pulled over by the police and they go to jail or whatever, they're only sorry because they got caught. We know, come on, we understand this. We know. We see it all the time. Maybe family members, maybe neighbors or something, they just do whatever they want and think, hey, I'm just going to do this until I get busted. This world isn't going to last much longer. Satan has a hold on way too many people today, folks. He's working overtime. The devil knows his time is short. And he's completely powerless against us. And all we have to do is say so in the name of Jesus. And at that powerful name, demons will tremble. You see, we need to lift up the name of Jesus higher than any other name. Amen. He is worthy of our praise. God is worthy of our honor. He is worthy of our glory. And we don't, folks, we don't deserve any of the promises of God. We don't deserve them. We don't deserve anything He's promised in His word. But thank God for His grace and His mercy to us. Amen. Thank God. And even further, folks, we aren't worthy of eternal life. Jesus died so that we could have that. And that makes Him worthy of all of the praise. Amen? Amen. We need to understand, folks, when we repent of our sins, if I can help you understand anything today, understand this. When we repent of our sins and God fills us with His Spirit and we are baptized in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we are bought with a price. And you are no longer your own. Amen? You belong to Him. And so therefore, we need to say, God, what do you want me to do? Well, how do you want me to live? And that's how we need to live, according to that. Amen? And we need to praise Him and thank Him for that opportunity. Now, that just opens the door for you. Amen? There's a whole lot more we need to do. We need to start changing our way of thinking because say, God, what makes you happy? How can I please you? Amen? When you read the New Testament, understand this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tells you all the life of Jesus Christ, everything He did. Acts tells you how to be saved. The rest of the books tell you how to stay saved. You want to learn how to live for God? Read the New Testament. Jesus died that we could be saved, and that makes Him worthy of the praise. So some people may call it chance that somebody was healed. Somebody may call it chance that somebody was delivered of things. And some may call it chance that some people may be saved. But listen to me today, folks. God calls it a choice. A choice. God has given us this choice. Amen? And how many times have you heard somebody say, well, a good God won't send me to hell. How can a loving God allow this to happen or that to happen? God won't punish me in eternity with my sins. God won't make me do any suffering for my little petty things that I do. Well, guess what? God doesn't send you to hell. God doesn't make you suffer. And God doesn't send you to a terrible place. You make the choice to do it yourself. Come on. We make our own choices. God put it out there in the beginning. Here's how. If you live this way, you get this. If you live this way, you get this. Amen? God, and so it's up to us, the choice that we make. When you're looking at a map and you say, I want to go here, and the road says you need to take this, if you take off this road, you're not going to go up here. It's your choice. That's why we get so mad when we find ourselves 2 hours out of the way. Why did I go that other way? It's your choice. Right? You know, get pulled over for speeding? Whose fault is that? Did the cop tell them, say, hey, speed? Anybody ever get a ticket for doing the speed limit? Ah, I got you there. Oh. Here's a ticket for doing 55 in a 55. Doesn't happen that way. It's when you're doing 80 in a 55. Right? It's our choices, folks. Our choice. So God doesn't do these things and how can a loving God? No, that was a choice you made. You send yourself there. We may call it error or fascination, but God calls it fatality. Isaiah 1:21, how is the faithful city become a harlot or unfaithful? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Look at what man, folks, How many ever remember the story here of the Terry Schiavo? Anybody ever hear that story? Terry Schiavo? Terry Schiavo was a case of a right to die, legal case in the United States from 1990 to 2005. On February 25th, 1990, at the age of 26, Schiavo sustained a cardiac arrest at her home in St. Petersburg, Florida. She was successfully resuscitated, but had a massive brain damage and lack of oxygen to her brain and was left comatose. Her diagnosis was determined that of a persistent vegetative state. In 1998, Schiavo's husband, Michael, petitioned the Sixth Circuit Court of Florida to remove her feeding tube pursuant to Florida's law. After 14 appeals and many different judgments and all these through the federal court systems, they upheld the original decision to remove the feeding tube. The feeding tube was disconnected on March 18, 2005, and Schiavo died on March 31, 2005. Look at what churches in this country is turning into. Look at the message we are sending to the disabled people. We are making decisions and being determined as gods. Folks, things we do, we will pay for the choices we make. Look at the abortion industry. Those are choices we are making as people. God is not pleased with those things. We are playing around with life. Life is precious. The reason you have life today is because God gave us life. Who do we think we are playing with the things of God? And that goes down to whatever you want to call petty. But let me tell you something about God, folks. Sin is sin. God doesn't color code sins. We don't have little white lies and very black lies. A lie is a lie. Amen? The Bible says a lie will send you to hell. I believe God hates lying so much because the devil is the liar and the father of it. And because of lies is why God's creation was removed from the garden. The courts are saying it's better to be dead than be disabled. Our judges, they're legal murderers. Folks, we aren't praying nearly enough in the United States. We aren't serving God like we should. The U.S. is going to fall flat on its face. In Jeremiah 2:30, in vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. Man calls sin infirmity and God calls iniquity. Folks, we are wallowing. This world today is wallowing in our sins, and we have to have everything on our way. Everybody wants it their way, right? I want what I want. I'm going to do no matter what it takes to get it. I want it what I want. So we have to say, have things our way, or we get mad and pout. Boy, it's quiet in here today. Often, people are very busy, too busy to serve God the way they should serve God. Many are too busy to lift up the name of Jesus the way we should be lifting up the name of Jesus. Many are too busy to pray the way we should be praying. So if we are too busy even to serve God because we have too many other gods to serve. People are too busy chasing and pursuing someone for sex and hanging out at the bars and the honky-tonks. People are doing drugs and alcohol, child molestations, abductions, murders, rapes, and the list goes on and on and on. Folks, it's not going to last much longer. Ezekiel 7:23, make a change, for the land is full of bloody crimes and the city is full of violence. Ezekiel 7:25, destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Our Bible is fulfilled. Nobody cares. The only thing left is Jesus splitting the eastern sky, and nobody cares because they're in unbelief. People don't believe there's a heaven. They don't believe there's a devil, and surely don't
believe in eternal death in hell.
Some people, the only thing they're interested in is making everyone believe that they're serving God all the time. They're just trying to be something they're not. Folks, God never promised us sunshine without a little bit of rain. God never said our lives would be a flower, a bed of ease. God never promised us perfect life here on this earth. Never did. He never promised us joy without sorrow. He never promised us peace without a little bit of pain. But he did promise us strength for every day. To give you strength today. Amen. To get through it. But praise God, folks. If we live for Jesus, when we leave this life, we are going to have everything perfect. Amen. Amen. You see, folks, in this life, everything is carnal and flesh. That's why we struggle, because this flesh is so used to getting its way. We have to understand this flesh has to be told no. Amen? This flesh has to be told. Hosea 4:2 says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. That's life today, blood for blood. Everybody's out to outdo their neighbor. Our only hope in a world like this today is Jesus Christ. That's our only hope. Amen? Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. We need him. We need him every day. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Many have heard and many have come. Some are doing great things for God. There are people that are doing great things for God. But there are so many that are timid, so many that are backward and so afraid to speak up and to lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Even though these folks are weak, Jesus is strong. He'll give you whatever you need. Amen? He's gentle. He's compassionate. God understands. He's kind. And he is so willing, God is so willing to forgive. He's so willing to forget all the terrible things that we've done in our lives. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? Thank God he's so willing to forgive. And he still, and oftentimes we still call sin a luxury. After all that God can do, all that he's done, what he's willing to do, what he's able to do, people still look at sin as a luxury, or liberty, a trifle, or a mistake, weakness. And God calls it lawlessness. God calls sin a tragedy. God calls sin madness and willfulness. You see, back in the Old Testament, sin was called transgression or rebellion. Psalms 32:1, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. See, my sins are covered. Your sins are covered by what? The precious blood of Jesus Christ today. You need your sins covered? He wants to cover your sins. Psalms 32:2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. An Old Testament called sin what it is. Twisted, crooked. See, that's the problem today. Everybody wants, let's not call them things what they are. They're always looking for different names to make it sound a little nicer. Amen? Let's not call it sin. Let's not call it rebellion. Let's just call it, and they want it, something that sounds a little better. Psalms 51:2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. See, we can be washed clean today if we just allow it. It's there for the asking, folks. Psalms 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. We were born into sin. All the way back to the Garden of Eden, folks. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's many ways we can sin. We might commit sin by doing something that we shouldn't be doing, or we may commit sin by not doing something that we should be doing, or living like giving God all our praise, all of our honor, all of our glory. The Bible says He's a jealous God. Amen. If we hold back in anything, in any area of our life, folks, God is jealous of that. Why has God got to be that way? He has the right to be. He's our creator. He paid a price for our salvation. Amen. We don't want anything less from our spouse. Right? We want all the attention. We want all the love. That's my wife. I want every bit of it. Amen? Because she gets all of mine. We get all of God's. He has every right to expect all of yours. Amen? He's always there for us. We're not always there for Him. Come on. Let's be honest here today. We need to do more for God. We need to do more to please Him. We need to look at every aspect of our life. Is every aspect of my life God's? If there's not, we need to do something about that. We need to change it because it belongs to Him. You see, folks, we got to understand. You know, we think that we can compartmentalize God and we can, well, I'm going to church Sunday because I got to do my church thing. And then this week I'm going to do this, this, and this. God needs to be number one in every aspect, every area. You put God first in every area, then all these things shall be added. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. See, God is telling you, look, you put me first, then all these other things will line up. The devil says, well, you have a right to do this, and you have a right to do that. He understands. Does anybody here think the devil wants you to go to heaven? So do you think there's any way he can use to trick you up, to keep you out of heaven, he will do it. And he knows the Word of God better than any of us. And he knows what it takes. I'll go in the world and I'll start a lot of different churches. And they'll look really good. They'll look very similar. They'll look just like the counter, like the real thing. Mom, any bankers here, Brother Hot Rod? What are they trained for? They look for the real thing or the counterfeit? If they know the real thing, they'll notice the counterfeit. Folks, we have to understand, and we better know the real thing. We better understand what God expects for us to get to heaven. We better understand how God expects for us to live. Because we're going to give account. And we're going to be judged by what? Anybody? What are we going to be judged by when we stand before the Lord? The Word. So we better look into the Word. How should I live? How should I treat God? How should I be? How should I wake up every day? Well, how should I think? The Word's going to judge us. And let me tell you something. The devil, it don't have to be ugly sin like killing and murder and all these kind of things. It don't have to be. It can be simple things. Listen to this. How much simpler? What? All they did was eat fruit in the garden. Now, come on, Pastor. That's all they did. But they did something God said don't do. He said, don't eat of that tree. How simple is that? And yet, there's so many times we want to look at, well, Pastor, it's just this. But, Pastor, why can't we do that? I don't know. Ask God.
going to argue with? Don't argue with me. God set the rules. I didn't. I just tell you about them. Come on. But how simple is that, folks? God said to these, here's Adam and Eve. Now listen, folks. Everything's yours. Anything you want. Not that tree. What do they do? Oh. Wow, why can't we touch that tree? Why can't we eat of that tree? That's just not fair, God. Yeah, but look at all these other ones. Yeah, but why not that one? Come on. You know that's how we are. Why shouldn't I be able to do this? Talk to God. But maybe I don't understand it, you know, because I know all of you parents, your kids understand all of your rules. And they never give you a hard time about them. Right? I never gave my dad and mom a hard time about any rule. Lord, forgive me for lying. But why do you set rules? Brother Massey, why do you give her rules? Protect her. Keep her safe. And that's why God does things for us, folks. He knows how we're tempted. He knows that we want that tree. But God said, no. There's reasons why. But we have to understand that. Living for God, folks, we need to follow the rules. If you want to call them rules, I call them protection. You see, I've been there on the other side doing things I shouldn't be doing. And it was ugly, and I didn't like it. And I knew better because I was raised in this. And if anybody could pound a rule in somebody's head, my dad knew how to pound it. Right back here. Okay? He pounded it really good. But there were things I didn't want to follow for a period of time in my life. And so when I was out there, folks, was I really happy? No, I wasn't. And I knew. Why do you think I'm back here today? Because I knew where the better life was. I knew that those rules, that those things that Dad said I shouldn't be doing, and I knew that Dad would always pound the Bible. Hey, the Word of God says this, and the Word of God says that. If you got around my dad and he didn't talk about Bible, he was not feeling well. Even at that, I saw my dad crawl to the car because his back was hurting so bad. And he couldn't hardly stand up, and he went to church, folks. I saw him go with his knees that big around, swelled up from rheumatoid arthritis. He went to church. So he taught me things because he knew this is the best thing for my kids. And right now, today, on Sunday, everyone but one of them, and he may be there, I don't know, out of 8 kids are in church today. There's no doubt in my mind they're in church today. Why? Because it's what's best. And I'm going to be a good example to my kids. So living for God is the greatest thing. And we need to understand, God didn't put them there. He gave every, in the garden, he gave them all the garden, everything in that garden, except for one thing. And there's so many times that folks out here, we know that there's things that we shouldn't do as if we say, call ourselves a Christian, but the devil's going to say, God wants to keep you from this, and God wants to keep you from that, and God doesn't want you to do this, and God doesn't want you to do this. I'm going to tell you something. God loves you, and he cares, and he knows what's best for you. So he says, hey, just live for me, and I'll give you abundant life. And if you seek me first, and you draw closer to my righteousness, I'll give you everything you need. I'll give you peace and joy and happiness. Yet the devil wants to point out all these things you can't do because you're a Christian. He's a liar. He wants to take you straight to hell. And it looks like something that won't hurt you, but the devil knows God doesn't want you doing it. In the name of Jesus. Ephesians 4, 26 to 27, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him any room. Don't let him get his foot in the door. In the name of Jesus, keep him underfoot, folks. He's powerless. The only power he has over you is what you allow him. That's it. Somebody said at the center of the storm is a calm. If every day's life storm is tossing and turning you, just remember, the center of the storm is coming. And that's where God is. He's there right at the center of your storm tonight. Or today, folks, tonight, whatever, what time it is, God is there. Isaiah 61, arise, shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. God is trying to lead us from the darkness into the light. But we, folks, we have to go in the direction he's telling us. We have to feel the nudge from God. Amen? We can't fall when we're supposed to be standing. Folks, we have to listen to what God is telling us. He's telling us to serve him or else. Matthew 7:23, and then I will profess unto him, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Wouldn't that be some terrible words to hear from God? Depart from me. Matthew 13:41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. We have to stay on the straight and narrow path, serving the Lord. Now, folks, sometimes when you hear this stuff, it sounds like, oh, I don't know if I can attain that. It's impossible. But let me tell you something, folks. God is always there. He's always reassuring you. Amen. And there's many times, folks, when I told you this many times. Sometimes I look at, you know, what I'm trying to do as a pastor and how I'm trying to lead and these things. And I get this overwhelming urge sometimes to just say, what do I think I'm doing? You know, you sometimes when it hits you, when you think the least, you know, last Sunday, when the messages that I preached, and I go home on Monday, and I get attacked with this. And I just, it happened this last Monday, folks, and I'm like, God, I know you love me, and I know that you care for me, and I know that you want to use me. And Lord, you see my heart is to want to do for you, and I want to serve you, and I want to be a good pastor, and I want to be a good husband, I want to be a good father. God, just help me. And then I feel this calm come over me, and God just loves me, and he says, I'm with you. I'm not saying it's always easy, but I'm telling you, if we'll seek God and say, God, you know my heart. You know what I'm trying to do. You know that I love you, and I can't do without you. He's right there, and he says, I love you, and I'll help you. When you hear we got to stray on the straight and narrow, oh, we just think, how hard is that? I can't do that. Yes, you can. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He loves you, and he wants us to be there. He wants us to make heaven our home. You know, and trying to lead and wanting us to be able to sell this building and move on and stuff, sometimes it just scares the living daylights out of me. But I know God loves me, and I know God wants to lead this church into greater things. And I'm not going to stop, even though sometimes it's so scary. We have to follow him, seek his spirit. We profess him. Say, God, you're my king. You're my heavenly father. Amen. I love you, God. Hallelujah. But it would be terrible words to hear him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Matthew 13:41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. We have to stay on the straight and narrow path, serving the Lord every day. Not living in sin like many think they can do. You're fooling yourself. Amen? 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Romans 14:23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Don't fail to include God in your plans. Hear me, folks. Do not fail to include God in your plans. It's foolish to. James 4:17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Don't fail to let God be a part of your plans. Let's stand here today. Folks, God has given us ways to live and things to live by in his word. Not to have that thumb on you. Because let me tell you something. If God wanted it, folks, if God wanted you, you'd do whatever God made you do. But you're here today out of your own free will. Okay? You're here because you want something better. It's not true love, folks. If I grabbed my wife and yanked her arm behind her back and said, "Tell me you love me," what kind of love would that be? I want her to love me because of what I am, who I am to her. And that's what God wants out of you. God has never twisted anybody's arm in this place. He wants you to live for him because what he is, who he is, and what he can do for us. I just want to open this altar to anybody here today. Maybe you need to talk to God about some things. God, I need you to get rid of some iniquity in my life, some sin. God, can you just forgive me? Lord, I want to make a better effort from here on out to do your will. I want to make you, God, part of the plan in my life. Every day, God, I want to do what you want, not what I want. Come on, this altar's open. Let's talk to him right now.
Still amazing.